Scripture reading will come from Proverbs 31, 25 through 29. Proverbs 31, 25 through 29. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all.
It's good to be back in Roanoke after a week at polishing the pulpit. And had a wonderful time, had an opportunity, as always, to sit and take in some great lessons from men of wisdom and experience, and had opportunity to give a couple of lessons this year as well. I mentioned one regarding the internship that we do here at Roanoke, and also a lesson on grief, ministering through grief. And so it was a good time, but I'm glad to be back home with you this morning. I want to take the opportunity this morning to acknowledge the day that we acknowledge in a secular way, that being Mother's Day. And we have all, and we know this quite well, benefited tremendously from mothers. By virtue of the fact that we're into this world, we owe something, at least, to mothers. But I'm persuaded much more beyond that as we think about the influences in our lives. There are a lot of things that would not happen without a mom. There wouldn't be children, and there wouldn't be fathers, and there would be a very different family. Not to say that there can't be family without a mother, but it would be very different than one where there was the influence that comes from that perspective. For a number of great reasons, I would suggest that mothers are amazing people. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Randy, if you could check this screen up here, that would be very helpful. I'm not talking about extraordinary things either. You know, we mothers have a tendency, I would expect, to look at their lives and say, well, there are things that I could have done better or should have done better, or I'm so inadequate in this area, or I'm lacking in this area. I'm not talking about extraordinary things this morning, because I don't believe you have to be extraordinary to be an amazing mother. This morning's lesson will highlight just those natural things that occur with every mom. I invite your attention to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to look at the early life of Moses to draw the lessons that we want to consider this morning. Exodus chapter 2. And when you get there, notice with me the first two verses. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, the background to this is that the leadership in Egypt has become fearful of the Israelite people. They're populating the land. They're multiplying. And he's afraid that there's going to be some disadvantage of that and from that. So there's a decree that goes out to throw all of these male children into the river. The girls could remain alive, but he's fearful of the young men or the baby boys that are being born. And so when Moses' parents conceive him and he comes into the world, the mother hides him for a period of time because she is not afraid of the decree of the king. This is the first quality about mothers that I want to highlight and point out this morning. They are fearless people. She defied a royal decree, so to speak, to preserve her child. She was fearless. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." Mothers are protectors. My mother was a protector. I expect that your mother was a protector. That's a general characteristic of mothers. It's even true in the animal kingdom. If you think about Hosea chapter 13 and verse 8, Hosea speaking on behalf of God, talking about what he's going to do to his people who are disobedient, says, "I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs." Mothers are fearless. They are protectors of their young. There's a marked resemblance between God's care and protection for his people and that of protective mothers. Jesus used an illustration in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, where he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Listen, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." The mother in the animal kingdom will gather her young close to her to protect them from threats. Moses' mother was like that. She didn't fear the decree because she wanted something else, something better than to be cast into the river to die for her child. Mothers today are not afraid to protect children. If they have to go into the schools to look out for and protect their children, they will do it. If they have to corner other kids who are mistreating their children, they will do it. If they have to talk to and confront other adults that are threatening their children, they will do it, because a general characteristic and quality for which I and you ought to be thankful in our mothers is that they are fearless people, just like Moses' mother, Jochebed, was. There's another quality here that we ought to consider, and that is resourcefulness. Mothers are very resourceful people. Look at verses 3 and 4 in our text. "But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done with him." Moses ended up in the river. I mean, that's where Pharaoh wanted him, but he ended up in the river by an ingenious plan. His mother knew that she could hide him no longer, so she put him in a boat of sorts and put him in the river, I suppose expecting that he would float into or drift into a situation where he would be preserved and protected. There are other mothers in the Bible who have been very resourceful in their actions. You might remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is presented with a situation. There are two women who had newborns. And one of them, her newborn died. And she took the other one's newborn and tried to portray that it was her child. And so they bring this case before Solomon, which becomes a test of his wisdom, by the way. And they want Solomon to decide who gets this particular child. And the woman whose child it was not was content with Solomon's suggestion that the child just be split in half and each of them be given the half of the child. Well, the mother, the true mother of the child, said, "No, let her have the child." And by that, Solomon knew that the true mother was the one who had made this latter suggestion or recommendation. Here was a situation where she had no real way of proving that it was her child. But she so cared about the child that she was willing to run the risk of losing him in order to spare his life. Solomon could see right through that. He could see the genuineness of the mother, even the resourcefulness of this mother who used this means in order to regain her child. And what about Proverbs 31? Randy read some of that just a moment ago. But think about some things that the Proverbs writer says. We typically refer to her as the virtuous woman. She's a wife, but she's a mother too. So think about some of the things that are said about this mother. Her husband safely trusts in her. He knows that she is going to be a helpmeet to him to make sure that provisions are made for the family. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31 how she does it. She seeks. She works. She brings. She provides for her family. A virtuous woman, no doubt, but an amazing mother, even so. Mothers have the greatest job in the world. And they often have inadequate means by which to do it. And they are very resourceful in the work that they do. Not unlike the resourcefulness of Jochebed, Moses' mother. I mean, I remember growing up, my mom was very resourceful with little means. I had tough skin jeans with the patches on the knees, even though they didn't need it. But that's what I wanted. And she was resourceful to make that happen. I had the nicest velour shirts that you can imagine as a young man. She was resourceful to make sure that her children were taken care of. And I expect that we can look at our lives as well and think about how resourceful our moms have been in providing for and taking care of us. Mothers possess an amazing resourcefulness. And number three, mothers, I would say, are Samaritans. And by that, I'm thinking of the Good Samaritan that exemplifies the neighborly attitude and behavior that we all ought to demonstrate. And I say she's a Samaritan because she improves the lives of everyone around. Look at verses 5 through 10 of our text. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked among the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. I don't have to recount all of the influence this morning that Moses has had on people. You think about his leadership of the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity. You think about his long bearing with them in the wilderness wandering. And you think about his having brought them to the brink of the land that they had been promised by God. But Moses didn't get to where he was at on his own. He was influenced by his mother, even in Pharaoh's house. And he became, by her leadership, by her rearing, by her upbringing, one who improved the lives of others around him. And so I would say his mother, through him even, improved the lives of everyone around. The actions of Jochebed exalted her son at her own threat, at the threat of her own peril. Her life was in jeopardy because of the action that she took to protect him. And yet she was willing to exalt her child and make him a success because she knew of the influence that could come from that. I think about, again, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 and how she affected and influenced those around her. She was a Samaritan of sorts as well. I would like to go there and look at a few verses. If you would join me at Proverbs 31, let's look at verses 10 through 24. Proverbs 31, 10 through 24. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion of her for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Notice this Samaritan type nature and behavior of this woman, this mother. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Let's think about the mother of Proverbs 31 and her Samaritan type behavior. Think about Jochebed as a Samaritan and the work that she did as a mother, how it influenced others around her and even through the children that she reared. It's not extraordinary. It doesn't require the greatest of education, the greatest of work experiences. It just requires the nature that comes with being a mother in order to influence others. It's just the little things they do. My mother did a lot of things for me as a child that, and I don't mean this in a bad way for my mother today, but if I had not known that she did those things, I probably wouldn't have expected that she did them. Maybe it's just that period of motherhood that draws out a willingness to do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. I think about being the den mother for the Cub Scout troop. Today, I probably wouldn't have thought my mother would have done that, but she did. I think about all of the activities that she engaged us in as part of that little group and how so many of them I still remember today. They may have seemed little to her, but I remember them still to this day. Just the little things. I know of a mother oh so well, whether my wife or another, I cannot tell. She brightened every day of two little girls each time they opened their little lunch pails. For there they found those colorful little notes, each one freshly written for the day. Simple, even silly on-looking children might say, but those notes were sweet motherly counsel in a very special way. Thank God for mothers who have a Samaritan-like spirit, who are neighborly, and who influence the lives of everyone around. There's a fourth quality this morning, and it's the one of influence, but maybe looked at a little bit differently than these other points. It's really amazing when children reflect their mother's influence. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, I think we see a little of Moses' mother coming out in him. There the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, listen, not fearing the wrath of the king, just like his mother, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The fearlessness to do what is right came from a mother who was fearless in doing what was right. There are others in the Bible whose influence, the influence of their mother, is reflected in them, and the Bible writers call attention to it. Think about 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul says of Timothy, the faith that was first in your grandmother, then in you, and I am persuaded, or then in your mother, and then I am persuaded also that is in you as well. Paul joyfully relished in Timothy's faith as he reflected on the fact that it came from his mother and it came from his grandmother. Now, there are anomalies in life as mothers try to rear and direct their children in the right path. I was, for a period in my life, an anomaly to this great influence, but I never forgot it. And I always knew what she had instilled in me and taught me. And just as a foolish person living in this world, it took me a while to wake up to it. The Proverbs writer said in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, a wise man makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. I think in most situations, a young man or a young woman who is behaving foolishly, like as I did for a while, might see the error of their way if they would reflect on the good influence that their mothers have had on them. Children with good sense can surely see a need to honor their mothers and to honor the influence that they have had in their lives. Again, Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Mothers are simply amazing. They are fearless. They are resourceful. They embody a Samaritan spirit that influences in a good way all who are around them, and their influence is often and should always be seen in the children that they have impacted as they have reared them. There are a lot of great things in this world, even more in the church, for which we ought to be thankful. This morning, for one, because it's our customary practice to honor them, but even more than that, the Bible gives us all the reason in the world to honor our mothers and rejoice over their influence in our lives. Today, I hope you will join me in appreciation for godly mothers because they are simply amazing. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why not? Is it because perhaps you don't know what that means? Maybe you're not aware of what it really entails to be a Christian. The very same book that we have considered this morning about mothers and their influence is the book that teaches us of our great need to be forgiven of the sins that we have committed in this life. Thankfully, by the grace and mercy of God, a plan has been enacted by which we can be saved from our sins, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fundamental elements of it tell us about his death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection from the grave to defeat death and overcome and gain a victory over sin. But those fundamental facts are not all of the gospel. There is the need that you and I have to know it, to accept it, and to apply it to our lives through obedience. We do that through faith in the things that we read and study, a faith that moves us to acknowledge our sins and repent of them, a faith that moves us to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then a faith that will move us to the waters of baptism so that our sins can be washed away just as God has decreed in his word. Then we have the opportunity and privilege to be children of God, members of the church which he purchased with his blood, citizens in the kingdom of God, and people who have the opportunity and privilege to live for him each day, maybe as a man, maybe as a woman, maybe as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a child. Whatever our station in life is at present, it's the place where God needs us now to serve him as his child. And maybe that's your need this morning, to become a Christian or to become a faithful Christian. We're going to sing a song to encourage all of us, and if you have a need to respond to the invitation this morning, we hope you will as we stand and sing.